Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark, and seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So did they 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times only. On that day they compassed the city 7 times, and it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said unto the 2 men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son he shall set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So, the Lord's methods are often not like our own, are they? He has ways of accomplishing things that we don't normally think of. We wouldn't normally think of it to be effective in the taking of a city, to put a few armed men out front, to put priests with trumpets behind them, to put behind that priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and then behind that some more priests blowing trumpets, and that compassing about a city one time, and then going home. And then the second day, the same thing, and then going home. And then the third day, the same thing, and then going home all the way in 4, 5, and day 6. And then on the seventh day, compassing about the city 7 times. And what is your battle plan, Joshua? Here it is. When the priests blow the long note with the trumpet, we're all going to shout. That's the battle plan. Well, I dare say that in most armies, Joshua would have been relieved of his command. But not here. Not here. Because notice that Joshua is not the commander. The Lord is the commander. And so we have then Joshua following the instructions of his commander and trusting in the instructions of his commander. And we have victory because of it. The difficulty is that we think that there are different methods. We think that there's a better way to do that. We think that we'll acknowledge in a passing sentence that, of course, the Lord is sovereign. Of course, the Lord is omniscient. Of course, the Lord knows what he's doing. But do you really think we can take the city by marching around it? You really think we can do that? And that's normally how it goes. And so we start out by saying all the right things, and we end up by doing all the wrong ones. And so we leave behind the method that the Lord has given to us, and we say, we can build the church in another way. We can conquer in another way. We know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ going forth conquering and to conquer. But, you know, he just hasn't told us everything. And we need to make up what he hasn't told us. And so we need all kinds of other things then. This is what will be successful. We just know it. And we may indeed build quite an edifice. We may indeed pull together a lot of people, but it will not be under the command of Christ. And so, let's draw a little bit out of the symbols here. What do you think the people of Jericho are seeing when they're watching from the wall and they see the children of it? Now remember, they're already quaking. They've already been told that. Rahab has already said, there's no strength left in us. And then they crossed over Jordan. So there was no strength in Jericho when they crossed over the Red Sea. Here it is 40 years later. Now they've crossed over Jordan. All that's brought up fresh to them again. And so here they are on the wall. Here comes Israel. Oh no, it's going to be a big battle. Oh wait a minute, what are they doing? They're sending out their priests. They just have a few armed men in the front and the priests with trumpets. And they're carrying this box with a golden lid and a couple of angels on the top of this lid. That's what they're doing. What do you think that means? I don't know. They compass the city round for 6 days. What do you think the Lord is telling them in compassing that city around? That's right. The Lord is saying, this city is mine. I have you surrounded. Surrender or die. Right? Isn't that the message? It seems like a pretty clear message. And so, for 6 days, Let's not see this as a threat. Let's see it as an opportunity. For 6 days, the people of Jericho have an opportunity, like Rahab, to say, you know what? We give. We're believers in Yahweh. Please, take us into your good graces. Take us into your nation. Circumcise us. Make us Israelites. We're ready to believe in Yahweh and to serve Him because Yahweh, He is God. They won't do it. Because in the natural man, there's not only no ability, there's no desire to come to Christ. And so, day after day, the patience of God announces unto them, the city is mine. Repent. And there is indeed a veiled offer of repentance in that. They know what's coming. They know they will not survive. There is already no breath in them. But like those Pharisees of old, when Jesus looked them in the eye and said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So then, the folks of the city of Jericho essentially said the same thing. My dear brothers and sisters, let that be none of our attitudes toward Christ. So then, on the seventh day, the day of fulfillment, the day when the redemptive and creative purposes of God come together, on the seventh day, they compassed the city about 7 times. And what do you think the inhabitants of Jericho thought when they didn't go back after the first lap, but began a second lap? Uh-oh. Something's different. Something else is going on here today. There is a greater sense of urgency here. But did they repent? They did not. And they had 7 times, as that army went around the city, 7 times, still they remained hard in their understanding. Still they remained willful. Maybe they held out vain hopes. They won't attack. If they do, we'll be able to turn them back. After all, it's just a few priests and a few guys with swords. Guys with trumpets. They think they can get us with that. And so they entertained vain hopes, just like the natural man does. He entertained vain hopes. I have more time. I'll be able to do what I want when I want. I'll be able to repent at my leisure. Forget this now is the day of salvation stuff. And so then what happens? At the end of that 7th trip around the city, the priests blow with the long note and the people of God shout. And I know scientists have said, and we must have set up a harmonic that destroyed the wall. Forget all of that. The Lord brought the wall down, whether He did it with a harmonic, an earthquake, or simply with the wind of His mouth. He brought the walls down such that every Israelite went up into the city. They climbed over the walls that had fallen down and they girt their sword upon their sides and they took care of everything that moved in the city. And then they burnt the city with fire, and only that which was able to bear through the fire was brought into the Lord's treasury. The gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron. And everything else was destroyed. Or so we think this far in the narrative. The city was devoted. The Hebrew word is chormah. Chormah means completely given over to the Lord for His purposes and His use. And what did the Lord say? In the giving of this city to me, here's what you will do. Slay them all. To our Western and 21st century ears, this sounds perhaps harsh. That means that we need an adjustment to our ears, not an adjustment to God's actions. He sets the standard of what harsh is. He sets the standard of what kindness is. He is those standards. And let us remember that in all of the accusation of harshness, that indeed there was a woman and her family saved who was a harlot. That's mercy. She was not saved because of her devotion. She was not saved because of her moral, stellar character. She was saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. She had nothing to offer and nothing to bring. And so notice also that she is commended in this chapter. And what is she commended for? Not for lying. She is commended for hiding the spies. She's commended for keeping them safe, which she did because she believed that this day was coming. She knew what God meant when He compassed the city with the army for 6 days and then 7 times on the 7th day. But she knew it before He even did that. She knew that this city belonged to the Lord in Hormah, that He would do with it whatever He wills. So what do we have then in Jericho? We have a story of the proclamation of God's patience. Was it somehow incumbent upon God the Father to say to Joshua, compass the city about for 6 days? No. No. If God only wanted the silver and the gold, the brass and the iron, He could have sent a fireball. Sent the spies, come on out, Rahab and the house, because the city's about to be firebombed. He could have done that. He could have sent a meteor. He could have made it a crater out of which they dug those metals. But He didn't. He proclaimed His patience 6 days on. And then on the 7th day, He proclaimed His patience, upping the ante of urgency by compassing it 7 days. And yet the people did not hear, would not hear. All right, thus ends the reading of Joshua chapter 6.